Blog Talk Radio.
Exactly what's going on here right now, but I'm going to grab K9 and get him back in here, and we're going to get the show started. Seems to be having a little technical difficulties here, but we're on it, and let's get this show on the road. So, I'm going to put K9 in here real quick. And then we're going to see if we can get Demetrius in, and We were expecting Gary Russell Jr. in tonight, but he sent his apologies. He's getting ready for his fight coming up with Raul Diaz Jr. And we hope to get him back on the show very soon. But right now, I'm going to add K-9 to the conversation. Right,
we in the game? Yeah, we in the game?
We in the game, man. We in the game. What's going on?
What's happening, my guy? What's the deal? What's good? other than boxing matches this weekend.
Well, you told me you were taking your fighter home there, so I guess you had another hard day in the gym.
Oh man, my girl Sarah, boy, she putting that work in. She's trying to become a champ one day, you know, trying to be like the Clarissa Shields of the world.
Hey man, you know that's a good thing. So you know we always right. appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And yeah. How's your son progressing on the amateur level there? How's things going?
Man, that boy gonna win him. He gonna win a gold medal or something because he can punch, and I'm teaching him how to box right handed and left handed. And he got a fight May the 23rd. It's at this big little place where you gotta pay $150 to get in. So it's all the best fighters in the world gonna be there. Fighters from Canada, fighters from everywhere. They're gonna be at this fight. So, and he was one of the guys that got selected. You know what I'm saying? Because he can fight pretty good. He's entertaining. And they actually gonna give him $65 too, so he getting paid as an amateur. Ain't like college; he can get paid and won't get in trouble for it.
Oh, okay. Hey, that makes sense to me, man.
Exactly.
You know, anytime you can take punches for pay is much better than taking it for free.
That's right. He can give me some gas money.
There you go. I think we have Boo Boo in here. Let's see. Greetings, Mr.
Hello?
Andre.
Hello.
Yo, Boo Boo.
Yeah.
How you doing, my man?
Good.
What's up, champ?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. That was K-9 yelling at you there. We just wanted to get you in and talk to you about all the bullshit that's going on, my man. So.
Word. What's up, fellas? Going
hey,
on, Kate Dog?
Hey, Andres, what up, my guy? You alright?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just, you know, trying to make it happen. That's it, man. Waiting for these tables to turn all the way.
Hey, that's good. Hey, do you know that right before I had fought Charlo, right? They weren't trying to give me the money that I was asking for. So I was like, man, I'm about to fight Andres. I'll try to reach out to your people to go ahead and fight you. But then I only had I think it was a couple of minutes left, and they was gonna force me to the mandatory. So I had to fight him.
Okay, nah, I didn't really know much about that, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah. Exactly. It is what it is, bro. I just wanted to let you know that because you probably didn't know. I said, man, forget that. I might as well fight for another belt at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, definitely.
Yeah. Hey. But it's good you undefeated, boy. You calling these boys out when you get back in the ring.
I'm trying to get in there too, man. You know, I'm trying to make it happen. You know, talking to the network, trying to see who wants to make the business happen, man. It's just a crazy situation for me when it's like, yo, the only way things are really going to pop off if you put me in the ring, and when you put me in the ring, because I help make the division. Like, I am, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. I went after 54. I did my thing. The division was hot. Now I'm at 50. It even got hotter. So it's like, come on, man. Everybody else is fighting but the man that needs to fight that's going to give everybody in any of them weight divisions a hard time. Like, and plus it's going to be entertaining. Like, come on, man. Let's get real.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, look, the 160-pound division, I don't think it's been this hot since Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, definitely.
You got yourself, you got Jacobs, you got the Charlo, you got Triple G, you got Canelo. I mean, that's super hot. That's summertime.
Oh, yeah. We need to make these fights happen among us instead of, you know, sitting here wondering sitting here trying to make these overseas people all the money, man. We need to stop spending more time with the American fighters, man. Like you get Triple G, you get Canelo. They come to the United States, fight, you know, and then they go in their country and spend all the money. Like, come
on. Yeah, hey, you know what? That's true.
Like we at least try to keep the economy growing. You know what I'm saying? We out here spending our dollars. You know, like we need to be focused on us. Like at the end of the day, they need to come over there and fight the American guys, man.
That's true.
Go tell
I see a lot
tell,
of the.
Go tell, wait, we're live right now or not? We just talking.
No, we live. We live,
okay,
right, Jay?
All right.
We live, but. Hey, man, this is my show. You can say what you want. You know.
That's right.
I'm just making sure.
That's right. But,
you know, go tell Triple G to go to where he's from, Kazakhstan, or, you know, wherever he's from, Kazakhstan, and go fill up arena over there. See if that happens.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He ain't got that many more fights up in him, though. You know what I'm saying? And Canelo that made himself look bad, man, with that tainted meat. So, I mean, you got Jacobs, and you got Charlo. Them the three hottest right there, because Canelo, hey, man, for real, though. Real talk, though.
Into my Mexican people, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, I put my sombrero on. I get my poncho. You know what I'm saying? I could be the next Mexican fighter. You know what I'm saying? For the Mexicans, man. That's it. You guys need a guy. I'll be that guy.
That's right. Hey, look, you was going to the fight for a minute, man. You was calling them boys out. You know what I'm saying? That was like kind of reminded me of Shannon Briggs. Let's go, champ. Let's go.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like, the situation I was in, man, you know, not really, you know, being mentioned because people trying to sweep me under the rug so they don't have to come this way. Like, if I'm such, like, you know, this is just coming from the fans and everybody else. Like, if I'm such a walk in the park, I ain't shit, you know, I haven't fought anybody, I'm inactive, then come over here, hear me my whooping, and tell me to shut the fuck up and go on with your day, and I'll do the same. Like, but that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Like it comes to a point like, yo, people want to see, you know, good fights, great matchups, and the best fight eventually. Not when boys is 40 years old, you know, out their prime, like, or they don't do it. They want to fight dudes like Santino. Like, I don't even know who, when, where he come from. But all of a sudden, he's getting to fight. Like, that's unfair for him. You probably won't be able to get back to the ring for a long time, man. You're fighting an elite guy. You got an elite guy fighting, not an elite guy, but you got a top guy, caliber guy right now, fighting dudes that shouldn't even be in the ring with you, man. Like, the dude got to take care of his family, too. The dude got to fight his way up. But we're allowing these fights to happen, man. That's messed up to the game, man. When you got people out there like me that's like, yeah, I want to fight the best. I don't want to train unless it's fighting the best because, yeah, I got to put my body through stuff, of course. I gotta be in the best shape. I gotta go through all this stuff to get in there and fight somebody that ain't gonna help my legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's not. You know, it comes to a time and point when you're 20 something, and oh, when you're 30 and oh, when you're 40 and oh, yeah, you want to get them bones. You get your bones. You know, you get those, of course. And you can't fight iron every single time. But it's like, how long are we waiting for until the real fights happen? Like, come on, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. Right. You still signed with HBO?
I mean, you know, HBO hasn't, you know, put any fights out there together. You know, they're saying that nobody's out there that I can't talk too political with the situation, but, you know, they're saying that they don't have nobody out there right now that wants to fight. That's the best information.
Right. Well, you know what? I probably can say
you probably can't. But go ahead.
No, all I was gonna say is you probably can't say what I can say, but to me, HBO, man, they really like to a certain extent prejudice, man. They put all the foreigners on. They put all, I mean, Kovalev, he goes loose to Andre Ward, and he's back on there fighting for a belt the very next fight.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Like, they're so focused on these overseas fighters, which I'm not sure. show no shade to him. Like, at the end of the day, we all, you know, are fighters no matter where we're from. But it's like, yo, we are American people. We're people that went to the and represented the United States of America in the Olympics, like I have done. Like, this, that's where the focus need to be. We need to be fighting their best guys and not trying to bring the other people from all over the world fighting each other in our backyard while we're sitting there, like, watching, like, yeah, okay. Like, come on, man. We got time for that. I want some of that.
That's true. That's true.
Like, yeah. I need some of that. Like, why can't I get any of that? What the hell's stopping me from having that happen?
I have a question for both of you guys. And that was the statement that Abel Sanchez made about about African American fighters not fighting anymore and being able to put butts in seats. What did you think about it first, K-9? And then, Demetrius, you chime in on that since you're one of the mandatories for Triple G.
Go ahead. He said me, but you, hey, look, you ready? You want a belt holder right now? Go ahead, champ. Let's go, champ.
You know, hey, I'm on my AB shit, I'm on my Shannon Rick shit, and I'm on my David Hayes shit. Anybody I see it can't get it. However, the Mexicans, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, and Americans, all them Indians, them boys. You know what I'm saying? Anyone, but nah, you know. Abel Sanchez is gonna say that because he got a message. He got Triple G. You know, to be all honest, yeah, like, you know, overseas they have the two top sports of soccer and boxing. You know, there's a lot of other sports out here people tune into. But at the end of the day, it's like they spend more time on promotion. You know, I think Showtime it does a great job. Al Heyman and them do a great job with their fighters. You know, they Adrian Broner, Mayweather, like they do a great job. But if we get more people and promoters and people instead of, you know, worry about their own and help spread it so everybody can be happy with this, whatever comes their way, we'll get more of that. But instead, you know, we're not getting that, man. It's either you're on this side or that side, and this side's winning. If you're on that side, you ain't getting nothing when it comes to the American, the American thing.
Right. I see it the same way. I feel like, man, you know, over here in America, you know, we got the NBA that's taking over. It's like the biggest sport in America is basketball. And you know, the Americans, we don't support each other like we should. You know what I mean? If we were supporting each other like we was in the 80s when boxing was all that and some, and in the 70s when it was all that and some, man, boxing would be huge over here in America. And overseas, they would have to kind of be over here where we at. But it's the opposite. You know what I mean? They taking our 80s. The 2018, it's the 80s over there. And over here, you know what I'm saying, we living in, you know, we're not living in back in the days like we was back in the days. And that's sad.
Not,
you know what I mean?
Not that being said, you know, K-9, when you talk about the crowd, and back in the 80s and early 90s, you know, we had the, you know, the street hustlers and the guys, you know, that were in the game and whatnot, you know, and we made an event of going to a boxing show. I mean, you know, you look back at some of the pictures of the crowd, you know, for all the way from Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali up to Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler. I mean, you had a, you know, you had kind of a inner city crowd, you know, that was, you know, doing some skeptical things. Nowadays, it seems like you have a crowd that's not so interested in the quality of boxing, but they're more interested in names. How did we get to this point,
K-9? Man, you know what? I don't know. I guess the internet, man. They like the rappers, man. You know what I'm saying? That make it rain. You know what I mean? They into all that, man. They not into the fight game. The fight game is where it's at, because without the fight game, you know, what's more better than going to a fight and you got Lil Wayne or Lil Jeezy or 6ix9ine or whoever it is that's bringing you into the ring? The fighting and their music go together hand in hand. And it's just like, I mean, people don't appreciate the fight game in America, man, like they should. I mean, look at Boo Boo. Boo Boo ain't never lost. You know what I'm saying? He should be on billboards and everything. We don't get promoted enough like we should. The promoters don't promote like they should, man. I mean, the promoters, I mean, they ain't got to promote like they used to now because the internet, we promote the fights. Look at Boo Boo. He going to the press conferences. Man, what up, Chalo? When you going to fight me next? He already doing a promoter's job.
Man, definitely on that part. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. And also, you know, the corporations, the sponsorships, Nike, this, like, they gotta get involved too. It's like, yo, you guys only get involved with basketball players, but yo, you got some boxers too. Like, you can, if you do the same thing that you do with LeBron James, with this fighter and that fighter, you're going to get the same. That's what we're missing. Like, we need the corporations to sit back and, like, help every sport, like, help everybody in the United States make it happen. Like, that's why I see where the biggest, you know, failure is in that point is, like, yo, they need to help us. They need to put us on Sprite commercial. We need help doing that thing. And at the end of the day, if that's happening, then you're going to see more of, you know, the people in America start tuning back into the boxing world. You know, that's what it boils down to. For me, that's how I see it. Like, it's that stuff.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. Just think about it. Look at Oscar De La Hoya. He's the best again. And look at his fighters on ESPN, and they promote that. What's that beer called? That one beer?
Tecate or something. Corona.
Yeah, Taiki. There you go. Taiki, Corona. There you go. Absolutely. He take care of his people, man, because he got a country behind him. Look at that. May the 2nd, that's the Mexican day. Why we ain't got no days for the black African Americans in boxing?
Straight up.
Not
to be on no racist shit, but I'm going to start painting myself white coming down ring like a big white hoe, baby. I'm about to see all these dudes in the fight. Then we're going to be putting all asses in the seat. They're going to be like, what? Hold on. American.
It is what it is, man.
I don't hold no punches. You know, I don't disrespect anybody, but it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, it's like, yo, like, we as fighters, now I see how, like, you know, the politics are sitting back and seeing how things work. As fighters, like, we need to help each other, really, when it boils down to it. Like, we need to start coming in together and helping each other out to change the way how things are going for the future, for future fighters, for ourselves, like, you know, like what Mayweather's doing or what Oscar's doing, promoting, but it's like, yo, we need more of our people to start getting hand-to-hand and uniting and making things happen for ourselves instead of going to these clowns all the time. Like, and they moving us like the chess pieces whenever they want. Like, we can't. That's unfair.
Right, yeah. The thing about it is, like a fighter fan says, like me, maybe a fighter like you, it's like it's you against the world, me against the world. But now you got Canelo, it's him and all the Mexicans. You get Anthony Joshua, it's him and all the foreigners, the people from overseas. We need to get people there where it's you and the whole country behind you. You, or at least you and your whole city, not just you and your city, you, your city, and my city, and a few other cities, because you're a world champion. You ain't no state champion. You're a world champion.
Straight up. Two-time
yes.
Olympian. Like, I done did everything I needed to do to give the sport what the sport wants and needs. And it's like, you guys don't want to pay attention to us because we're not Mexican. Like, come on, man. That's not cool, man. That's not, like, you know, because we don't play ball. Like, yo, we do the hottest sport that there is. It's boxing. Anybody can shoot. I'm not saying anybody can shoot and dribble all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But who can go? You can get athletes, boxers that have ability, that's athletic, to go and play baseball, go play football, do all these other things. But you can't get people from the other sports to put them in the ring because it takes more than, you know, just skills, man. It takes mind. It takes IQ. It's just a whole lot of things, and I feel like boxers are the best athletes. And I'm in MMA, too. Let me not get it confused, because they fight, too. You know what I'm saying? Combat sports. Like, yo, we're fighting for our country, too, sometimes, and not for ourselves. But the athletes, the boxing, the fighting, the combat, people, like, come on, man, that's something people don't want to do that either. Like, basically, like, that's not for me. Like, I can't do this. And then you got some people that, oh yeah, I love this. Oh yeah, let's go. This is what we doing. Woo! Let's make it happen. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, right. You know, absolutely.
It's just, you know, and it's not easy, man. The way how the sports get treated and the people in the sport get treated if you're not with the best of the best as far as like the whole business side, because it don't even come down to talent right now or skill. It just comes to who you with, who got the best what, and who could got more little clout. Then you use the fight game. You could, but if you got the best skills, you got the best talent, you ain't with the best.
Right.
You don't get to fight. You don't get to fight. Like, come on, man. We get treated like what? Because what? That's right.
Hey, look. If you able to talk about the situation when you was about to fight Trollo, but then Rockefeller, Jay-Z and them, they was about to Grady sign you. I mean, can you elaborate on some of that? Because that was interesting. I know y'all was about to Grady fight on Showtime, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, all I can pretty much say that case is closed, and I got everything that I was supposed to get when that was supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? That's the best information that I could give as far as that. But, like, the story of it is, yes, I was, you know, Showtime was trying to make a deal for me to fight one of the Charlos at 154 pounds for my WBO belt I had at the time, and you know, everybody knows Roc Nation is trying to get into business and all this other stuff. And you already know just their background and what they can bring to the sport, or, you know, just the type of stuff I was saying as far as, like, corporations, backing, endorsements, sponsorships, all that stuff. Like, when you think about Jay-Z and Roc Nation, that's what you kind of think of. So you're like, no, like, you know, let's, it's interesting. Let's get in there. Let's make it happen. And, you know, it didn't happen, and like I said, the shit is done and over with, and I got everything that I was supposed to get then now.
Right. How do you feel about a fight with a Charlo right now? I mean, he's kind of on fire right now. He done got hot. He calling guys out. You know, he's looking pretty good. I mean, would you entertain a fight like that? And how do you think a fight like that would go right now with you and Charlo right now?
I mean, he's hot because he's fighting the type of guys that he's fighting. You know, I think, Adrian Broner could have beat Santanio. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's four weight classes higher than him. But honestly, you know, I have my feelings about them as far as like their growth, as far as like when they was coming up. They wasn't doing the type of stuff that they're doing now. So it kind of has me in the loop of on some Canelo shit and what he was doing with the so-called tainted meat. You know what I'm saying? I can't sit there and say something that I don't have the correct information. But for something like that to happen, I want to make sure as a clean athlete like me, this shit has to be clean all the way. Like, I need some time. We need time because I know how the cycles work.
Yeah.
So I need the time to make sure we're both clean. We're stepping in the ring. It's both ways, not one way and another way, because at the end of the day, it is what it is. There's dirty fighters out there. Anybody that's using anything to make them be way better or stronger, whatever, if that's the case, I might as well go to Apple and tell them to build a robot, and me and the robot can stop fighting. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Look, you're making a good point, boy. I've been hearing a whole lot of stuff been going on, bro. Trust me. You making a lot of sense without saying a whole lot. Trust me, you're right. And to a person, like you say, until you can be proven wrong, you know what I'm saying? I need to find out what's really going on. Right.
Yeah, of course. So for me, I represent clean athletes. I'm clean myself, and for me to get in the ring with any top guy, I want to make sure we're all clean. If not, we're all going to be on the other end, too. One way or another, we're both going to be the same playing field, motherfuckers.
Right. That's true. They say that ever since Pacquiao moved up, you know what I'm saying? And they say it wasn't because he moved up. They say he stopped messing with them steroids, that he wasn't knocking nobody out no more.
Well, that kind of speaks for itself, don't it? You know, Stevie Wonder can see that.
right. Yeah, but I'm glad he started to test these guys, because if you can catch Canelo, I mean, come on, man, he like a pay-per-view star. If you can catch him from doing that, I mean, you know, other guys should really take notice and say, you know what, I better watch it, because your whole career going to be a lie. They going to say, man, hey, Margarito, he been doing it. You don't tell him when he fought Centron, when he fought Cotto the first time, one time get caught. They going to say you did it all your life.
Yeah,
of course.
But Canelo now, you know, they is fine. I mean, his suspension was for a year. Now they've cut it down to 6 months. So we all know what that means. You know,
that's crazy. It's about the money. Yeah, it's about the money. I understand everybody want to get paid, man. I understand that. Yeah, I want to get paid too. You know what I'm saying? I want to get a ring invite too. Like, let me get some. I ain't doing the shit he's doing to, you know, get some. I'm just trying to stay the way I am and do what I got to do to get it. But you're sitting here and you're letting a guy do that over the money. Like, yo, you need to make an example out of Canelo. That's what you need to do. Not sit there
and bring
it back. Like, yo, he needs to be fined. Like, he made a, listen, to everybody, whatever, however you want, yo, he made enough money, right? A lot of money.
Right.
He made a lot of money. He's good for life right now. You know what I'm saying? He's good for life.
Right.
You need to make an example out of him. Him not fighting for 4 or 5 years, he's still going to be good. You know what I'm saying? And he needs to be tested the whole way if he's going to get back, if he chooses to come back into the game. But for 6 months, come on, man, what he going to do? Get on it for three, get off it for the last three, and be like, I'm back in the ring, let's go? Like, come on, man. That's just unfair for people like me, people like you, Kay, and I got to sit back and try to be the nice guy. And be like, yo, nice guy finished last, man. Fuck the bullshit, man. Nice guy finished last. This is what we get. Just try to be nice, try to do the right thing. Like, it's unfair, man. It's just bullshit.
Yeah, that's right. You, man, you just really need to get in the ring. Just get in the ring, man. I don't know, like, what's holding you up. I mean, I don't know if it's HBO or it's your promoter, but you got a lot of talent, and you just need to stay ready. So when the opportunity comes against one of them Charlo boys or Jacobs or whoever it is, then you can be ring sharp. You know what I mean? That last fight you had, that they got you ring sharp, because you was in there with a tall boy. That guy was tall, man. You know what I mean? And that was your first fight going up in middleweight. So that was a real good test for you. Now we got to get you back in the ring, man, because your name needs to be buzzing. People know you can fight, but we need to see you more often. They need to hear about you more often, see more knockouts. You know what I mean? They gave you a fight where you could look good, but they giving him, you know, Charlo them fights where they could look good and knocking these guys out.
Now, yeah, of course, they're fighting Jack Sparrow, a Caribbean and Caribbean dude with one leg and shit. Laura fighting Bobby Foreman, he got one leg. Like, come on, man. A dude that fought with Santana, like, Pee Wee Herman, he got in the ring with. Like, let's come on, dude. Like,
but you know the thing about it.
Get in there with, it was Goliath and David and Goliath, Demetrius Andre versus Alonte Fox, 6'5", 80-inch reach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First fight at 160, coming in at 60-something. The other guy coming at 190. Like, it's
right.
A fight.
That's
it's
it.
A fight. I'm in that motherfucker.
Right.
Like, oh, shit, this nigga long. Oh, okay, can't miss. Ah, shit. Oh. What? Let's go, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, what do you guys think about the Danny Jacobs fight coming up?
Yeah, you can answer that one, Boo. I got to think about that one because I don't really know the other guy he's going to fight.
Yeah, well, you know, the other guy, I can't pronounce his name. Starts with an S. How you pronounce his name?
Soliki, something like that.
Soliki. Yeah, so, you know, he beat the Santana dude. I think he knocked him out, too. You know, I don't really
Absolutely.
Know. He fought the guy, beat for the belt in Germany. At 154. So, you know, he really ain't got the recognition out there yet. You know what I'm hearing? He's coming around. But I think you know, Danny Jacobs is just, you know, he's a strong fighter. He's starting to come into his own a little more and sitting in the pocket. His boxing ability's getting better as he goes on. I think the Lewis fight, Arias, last fight, I think he was a little sluggish to me. But I think this is going to be a good fight because the other guy does box a little bit. He throws a lot of he does throw a lot of punches. He tries to be active to see what happens. So I think it's going to be a good fight. But you know, Danny's an elite fighter, man.
Right. Hey, yeah. I'm trying to get the subject. I think if you was with Eddie Hearn, Boo, boy, you'll be on fire right now, Andres. If you was with Eddie Hearn, that boy, he a good promoter.
You know,
you can't really speak. I know you can't say certain things, but yeah, all I'm missing from you, it ain't really, I don't even think it's you, it's the people that's behind you.
Nah, for sure.
They ain't
pushing. Sure. It's been that way. Because at the end of the day, it does take two to tangle. It does take two to tangle, but the greed sometimes needs to be put aside. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you want too much for something, you know, you're not getting, like, it's just, you know, the greed, man. That's what I can say.
Oh, yeah. I can read between lines. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? I got you.
I'm definitely willing to get in the ring and do what I do best, man. That's just all I've been doing since I was the age of six, was fighting and putting my best foot forward every single time. You know, and at the end of the day,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to eat the fruits of my labor when it's all said and done, just like everybody else that's doing it or getting it. You know, like the Canelos and them, like, you know, like who has he really got in the ring with to make all that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Amir Khan? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Let's get real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really?
Hey.
Come on, man.
Hey. It's connection and the complexion.
Word.
Hey, he got red hair. You know he good. Oh, man.
I told you I'm about to come in. I'm about to paint my shit up. I'll be coming in there. I'm going to paint my home. I'm over here like, don't worry. I got our people. I got us, man. A few years later, I'm like, man,
hey,
fuck this
shit.
I need that paint.
Right.
Color shit blonde.
Right. Hey, you dangerous too, though. You got to remember that too. You dangerous, so they ain't going to just jump at you at all. They gonna try to, you know what I'm saying, stall. They want you not to fight for a minute, and then they'll call you out. You know what I'm saying? You got that zero behind you, so you good. As long as you got that zero behind you, you're going to keep getting them zeros behind your money.
Yeah, well, and just to, you know, also put it out there real quick for the listeners, like, when they say their excuse is like, oh, okay, the risk is not the reward, it's not worth the reward. He's been inactive. Okay, so you got Vanez that I fought in 2014 for the WBO, hasn't fought for 2 years fighting Triple G, right? Let's just get that out of the way. And if I'm fighting the top guy, people are really going to view him because they know, like, the talent behind Demetrius Andrade and if you put me with him with the top guy also is going to have, you know, his following and fan base. And then the network does their job and put the promos and all that stuff together. We're all going to get paid. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't like I'm ready to fight whenever, however. So I hate to hear when people use them excuses. I'm like, yo, or I price myself out. Listen, I don't talk about money. I'm ready to fight. Like, let's just fight.
Right. Man, listen.
You
would have been a better fight than some Veins. Trust me. The thing about it is that they know Veins gonna be right there to be hit, and he's a smaller guy coming up, and they can beat him easy. They don't want nothing hard.
Nah, not at all. Because again, it goes back to, you know, he got suspended for 1 year, brought it back to 6 months, so they can go in there and try to make it happen, so everybody's happy and laughing and be like, ha 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 ha.
Right. Oh, yeah, then you would pick him apart. If he don't want to fight, if Triple G is turning down fights with Laura, and you see what just happened to Laura, and you a bigger version of Laura, a younger version of Laura, ain't no way he was going to step in the ring with you in May.
Yeah, I just hope with the press that I have been getting in the boxing, really now seeing like I'm alive, I exist, I'm out there. You know, I know I haven't been the most active fighter out there because of, you know, reason, not me, but reason behind the scene stuff. Like, that fight needs to happen, man. Me and Triple G needs to happen.
You know, guys, I want you to kind of, you know, go through this timeline with me, because Triple G is now 37 years old. Now,
37?
It seems like, isn't he 37?
Like 34 or something.
No, Triple G is older than that. He's at least 36. Rings in the tree prove that. But anyway, thinking that he's going to fight Canelo next May 5th, since Canelo only has a 6-month extension suspension now. That would give him one fight this year, maybe a tune-up for Canelo, maybe not. So how long are you thinking that Triple G is still going to be around and be a guy that can demand not only the money, but who his opponent is? I don't think he's going to be around more than another 18 months or so.
I mean, I can't speak on his time frame or what he chooses to do with his life and his boxing career. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, if he is the biggest, baddest dude out there, he already got a nice payday when he fought Canelo already. People want to see somebody different, like Demetrius Andrade, or just like you, that's what needs to be. That's what needs to happen. At the end of the day, you got to give the fans what they want, because if you don't, then we're still stuck with the situation that we're in, as far as I was saying, with the American fighting situation. Like, it's time to people stop paying attention to your American people, you know? And if not,
right,
then go shoot flies. Go shoot flies, bro. Get up out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to fight nobody, because honestly, you know, I can sit here, you know, I haven't fought the best of the guys out there because, you know, it's hard for me to get a fight, but who did Triple G really fight that was like top guy, Iron? Danny Jacobs?
Right.
I could throw in David Lemieux just a little bit, but he, you know, that's clearly an easy situation where you can just move on him. Who he fight? Martin Murray? What the hell? Honestly,
and you know what?
Gabriel,
I think you
Rosado,
got a real
Gabriel
good
Rosado. Come on, man.
Boom.
Gabriel Rosado,
right.
He's tough. He comes to fight, but tough don't win shit.
Yeah.
Skills do, apparently.
Yeah. I think that you got a good chance. Hey, boo, I think you got a good chance to get the Canelo fight, because Canelo can't fight for 6 months. So that's going to be, he done been off for over a year. And then you haven't fought in a minute yourself. So I think they're going to take a chance, knowing you haven't fought in a minute, to actually fight you. I don't think he's going to fight against Triple G in September. I think you got a good chance to get that fight.
Yeah,
if you call for that fight.
I hope so. I've been chasing Canelo for a while now. When I had the WBO, he was supposed to be my mandatory. That didn't happen, right? So whatever. I got the whole Charlo Rock Nation thing, the inactivity. Okay, they stripped me from my belt. Okay, you know who comes back to fight for it? Lima Smith and Canelo.
Yep. I think you got a good chance
right?
to get that fight, because he's not scared.
Tweet today was, I don't think Canelo will ever take the fight, because there's no PED out there that can make him taller or have longer arms, so I don't know if you ever want to fight me.
Right. You just gotta figure out the way to get it. I don't know if getting under his skin is gonna get it for you, or I don't know if getting under his skin will get it for you. But I think you get that fight for sure, because he fought against Laura. Now Laura is a champion slick southpaw, so why wouldn't he fight you? You a southpaw, slick southpaw.
Yeah. Well, now definitely, that's definitely the fight that has to happen in the future for boxing.
Yeah, I think it happened. I definitely think it happened, because you know you're gonna try to come back and get a big fight. I don't think he's gonna make a fight Triple G, because Triple G's gonna fight. They want to fight Triple G when Triple G ain't fighting. That's why they told him, if you fight before this fight in May, then we ain't fighting you. That's why they did, because they want him to get old overnight.
Yeah.
And they want to get in there with somebody who hasn't been active, with a name, ain't never lost a fight, and you just fought on HBO, so it ain't like that. You ain't got a buzz going.
Boo-Boo is too dangerous for either one of them to fight, especially when they if they want to fight each other again. I think that's kind of off the table. Hey, man, thanks for hanging out with us a little bit tonight, man. We appreciate your time, and we can't wait till your next fight is announced and to get you back on the show, man. So you have a great night, man. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and any final thoughts you have for our audience tonight.
I appreciate you always having me on and supporting boxing. The listeners out there, your supporters, our supporters, man, you know, let's keep it real, you know, at the same time, and to help demand these fights that need to happen for boxing, man, for the entertainment, for the people that need to be going toe-to-toe. Our man K on the other line, you know what I'm saying, for putting and setting the path for us, you know. Letting people
That's
know
right.
how to woo-woo-woo, in the motherfucking game, kind of woo-woo-woo, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You can definitely find me on the, you know, they already know, man, Demetrius Andre. Just Google Wikipedia, this stuff, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You'll see me. I'm here. I'm around.
And That's right.
For my true fans, thanks for keeping me always in mind, and prayers go out to everybody. God bless, man. Have a good night.
That's right.
You have a great night.
All right,
night.
My guy. Yep. Right. Cheers,
right.
My homie. Yeah.
All
okay.
Right. Easy.
Right. Yeah. That boy a beast, though.
Yeah, man. I know a lot of guys, shy away from, his rawness, his truthfulness. But, he's kind of like you, man. You know, if you don't want to hear the answer, don't ask.
That's right.
You know, so
yeah.
You know.
Straight throwback. He go tell you how he feel. He go do something I didn't do, I should did. He gonna show up at the press conference. You know what I'm saying? Well, Mayweather was in town and I was the current champion, but they kept telling me, man, Mayweather in town, man, go to that little club yet. Go. I'm like, nah, man, I ain't gonna go. I should have went there and told him, man, listen, this is my city. What you doing not checking in? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I respect about him, though. He gonna tell you, look, bro, what's happening, man? Why you ain't fighting me? Well, you know what I'm saying? Charlo, give up, bro. What's happening? And I respect that. And it works. And look what Laura did. Laura did that to Canelo and got the fight. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And I respect him, man. He a real good fighter. At the end of the day, he a good fighter. It ain't like he just barking and he ain't biting. He backing it up. And you got to respect that.
Well, I'm going to take you through a couple things here, man, before we talk about, the results.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about the whole kind of, okay, Gervonta Davis fights a guy that's probably moving up at least two weight classes.
Oh, yeah.
Charlo, we see, fights a guy that is probably moving up at least one weight class, if not two.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of guys within the last 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
Fight guys that are coming up instead of guys that are within their own division.
Right.
Do you think that this is another reason why the diehard boxing fan is starting to get a little skeptical and the casual fan is starting to go to other contact sports like MMA, where at least, if the fights aren't competitive, they're at least over very quickly.
Right. Well, you know what? I think that, I mean, it's a lot of things I think that's going on. One thing is, one of the things I believe is, granddaddy ain't here no more. Granddaddy, the old school fighters, the old school trainers, just the old school people, period, they ain't here no more. They done passed away. So those diehard, you know what I'm saying, fighters, or those senior citizens that was here, you know, in the days of Rosa Parks and all that, where boxing was this and that, that and this, that ain't here no more. Now you got the skinny jean world nowadays, where the young people, you know, they looking up to the rappers now, and everybody that's 6 foot one, two, three, four, or five wanna be a basketball player. So it's just, you know, it's just a lot that's going on. And then, you know, I'm not racist or none of that, but it's like, you know, the great white hope isn't in boxing. I mean, you know, a lot of the blacks and a lot of the guys from overseas are taking over boxing. So now, you know, the great white hope is in MMA. But then, you know what I mean, well, you could just pick a guy up and slam him because the rhythm isn't there. You know what I mean? So, you know, and then, you know, boxing doesn't have a union. And then another thing is, we don't have that Don King no more. Where's that Don King? Oh, man, K-9, man, I love you, man. You're one of the best brothers in the world, man. We need to get the American people to get involved. You know, Don King was good for the sport of boxing. These promoters, man, they're not really, like, speaking. They ain't got too much to say. You know, they're not getting the attention that boxers need. You know what I mean? The promoters are the ones supposed to promote the fighters and promote boxing, and they're not doing it. The fighters are doing more promoting than the promoters. I mean, you got some good promoters that are doing good numbers and doing good things behind closed doors, but we need a face. We need some talking, some words that's out here from a promoter that's getting the public attention. And the promoters are not getting out there like fast. Don King is the reason why Michael Jordan has Nike under his feet, and he has Michael Jordan brand that's out here. Don King put that together. All that talking he did, man, he made it big for not just black athletes, but white athletes, all kind of athletes, where all these sporting people are getting behind all these different sports. Because of the union, because of how, you know, whoever's running the NBA is, you know, making these dress codes where you got to wear suits now, or you can't be wearing this, you can't be wearing that. It's not like that with boxers. Boxers can say what they want to say. Like Bronner, he said what he wanted to say. He said some stuff, man, that I was like, whoa. And with a union, you couldn't say that. But then, like, with belt holders like the WBC, they can get in and say, hold on, man, you got to apologize. You know what I mean? And you're going to do it. Like, Wilder had said something. He was talking about bodying somebody. And they said, hold on, bro. You know what I'm saying? They got it. You know, man, it was just, you know, it was just a little talk. I mean, and to me, that's what it is, man. We, like Boo Boo was saying, like Andres was saying, he said, man, you know, we need Nike. We need Puma. We need them to get not just behind the superstars, but get behind boxing, period, as a whole. And another thing is it's just so many things. We need to get behind an amateur program. We need the amateur program to be bigger than what it is. It's big, but we need it to be even bigger so we can be able to get these guys when they turn pro. Their very first fight, they shouldn't have to be a champion. They should have to be a gold medalist for them to be on TV and be talked about, because we didn't get behind them as when they was younger to be able to hear their story, to follow them as when they kids, to see their journey. That's what I liked about the Contender. When I was on the Contender, you was able to see I'm not just a boxer. I'm not just a fighter. I got a family. You know what I mean? I got a son. You know, I got a story. And that's why I'm happy that it's actually coming on again, man, because we have stories, and our stories need to be told. People need to be in love with not just the fighter, you know what I'm saying, because he can fight, but just like to love him as a person, a human being. He's not just a fighter, you know what I'm saying? It's the reason why he didn't graduate, or it's the reason why he graduated. It's the reason why he's fighting. He got a family, you know what I'm saying? He go through this, he go through that, and he might have a job because the boxing is not paying the bills for him. And that's the reason why, you know, a lot of fans love me. That's the reason why a lot of people love Floyd or hate Floyd, because they see a story on 24/7 when he was boxing regularly, when he was active. And, you know, it's just like a million things, man, that can improve boxing and that boxing needs. They don't even need a million. They just give us 1,000 things we need, you know, to get behind the sport to do to make boxing great again. Al Heyman not doing a bad job. He's doing a good job. And as soon as he come in and he started giving fighters more money or giving them what they should have been getting paid in the first place, you got other promoters that start hating on them. And we don't need that. We need to get together. I don't see the NBA players. They get behind each other. Like when Popovich's wife just died, all the NBA players got behind him and tweeted and said, you know, Pop, man, we love you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. We be hating on each other. You know, this guy don't want to see this guy get it. And that guy don't want to see this guy get it. And this promoter said, forget it, dog, this promoter. That's how come when Oscar De La Hoya sent the tweet and said, Showtime, you're doing a good job, a good card. I retweeted and said, man, good stuff, Oscar. Promoters getting behind promoters. HBO should need to get involved and do some business with Showtime. Don't wait till it's a billion-dollar fight with Mayweather and Conor McGregor, and we both can benefit. But do it for the fans. What about how come we can't all get along, like the great Rodney King would say?
Yeah, right. You know, anyway.
On a good note. On a good note.
I got a couple questions for you here, K-9.
Okay.
As you said, you know, the corporation should get behind, you know, boxing and whatnot. And I understand it. I mean, in a perfect world here.
Uh-huh.
But you have Rival and Everlast that make the sports equipment. And at one time, I'm not sure now, you have a better knowledge of equipment than I do, but at one time before when you know boxers were using different footwear, I believe Rival also had the shoes. So unless, you know, you're going to present these corporations with some kind of business model, how do you think, you know, they're going to be able to displace the equipment that fighters have been using since the wide world of sports?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, I don't know, man. I tell you this. The radio show, this us talking about all of what we need and what can help the sport is good. Maybe we need more radio shows. We need more of some of everything. I mean, whatever happened to, I'm glad you brought up the Wide World of Sports and all that and Rival and Everlast. Whatever happened to Pony? Remember Pony? Whatever happened to Pony? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need to bring Pony back. We need more competition. Competition is good. You know what I mean? We need more of it. We need more boxers that after they finish boxing to become commentators like Antonio Tarver. Antonio Tarver deserves a job. You know what I mean? He got caught what? They say he failed a drug test and then he got fired. You know, when he's fighting and when he's commentating. I mean, Paulie Malignaggi is doing a great job. We need more like the NBA. When they retire, they get all those basketball players jobs. We need more of the boxers. I mean, the sport hurts them so bad that when they finish with the sport, you know, they can't talk. Some of them can't talk. Then some of them homeless. I mean, we need to take care of our fighters, man. You know what I mean? They need to be taken care of and put on a hot pedestal because we gave you 20 years, 15, 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears. But then after it's over, it's like what they do to racehorses. They kill them. It's like after a pit bull that fought, and then now he lose a fight because you done betted on him, you done made him fight, you shoot him. I mean, and it's terrible, man. The fighters need to be treated better, and maybe they would act better.
You know, one of the saddest things that I had ever seen in my life, and I talked about it, it was on one of the first shows after you had fought down here in Indigo. And,
yeah.
And I was watching how they treated Sphinx.
Yeah.
Leon. It was disgraceful, you know. He was walking around backstage by himself. I mean, you know, at certain points by himself, you know, he's just not capable of looking after himself anymore. Someone with the family around there.
Wow.
Whereas, I mean, you know, it was to see, you know, and the family was one thing, but as you say, to see, you know, someone that was an ex-champion being kind of just discarded, you know, and wait until we have time for you was something that was very heart-wrenching to me.
That's what I'm saying. This is a man who beat Muhammad Ali. And you treat him like that? That's what I'm saying, man. There is no respect for champions, for boxers, for fighters. I mean, it's just terrible, man. You talking about a world champion. You talking about somebody that you know, that fought for you. Because you can't tell me that when a guy's fighting, you ain't got somebody at home rooting you on. You ain't got somebody in the stands rooting you on. And that person is fighting for his family. He's feeding his family. Man, you rooting for him. But now the same person that you know, gave you a job. Because you know, when we fight, we give people jobs. When I fight, guess what? A referee getting paid. When I fight, guess what? A trainer getting paid. When I fight, guess what? The venue is getting paid. You selling hot dogs. You selling chips. You even selling coffee. They selling liquor. They selling everything. You got people outside the Molly Pop shop. They selling them T-shirts. The knockoff T-shirts with the Mayweather on and all that. So it's a festival. Everybody's getting paid. So when a fighter fights, everybody getting paid. And then afterwards, though, when he can't fight no more, so we can't get paid off you no more, get out. We through with you. And that's not, it's just sad. I mean, we should have retirement funds, you know what I mean? One thing I could take my hat off to the IBF is like, you know, I got some money where when I was fighting, they take our retirement fund for me. So I'm able to collect some money like when I retire from boxing. And I believe the WBC, the WBA, I don't know if they're doing it, but they should do the same thing. I mean, seriously, a union, I mean, it's really needed. And this show that we have it right now, just talking about what we're doing, I mean, if any listeners are listening and there's something they can do to help the sport, I mean, you know, tweet you, tweet me. I mean, let's get with the state. Let's get with Donald Trump if he's listening, because I heard he was trying to do something for Jack Johnson. Did you hear about that?
No, I would be very skeptical about believing it. I do a political show on Friday, so
okay.
Trump, the Trump presidency is one of the things that you know I think is held back a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
Because if he can hurt the National Football League by making a statement political that was not, just think what he could do, you know, the harm to boxing, you know, if he decided, you know, that it was inhumane or any other reason, you know, maybe there was too many blacks. I mean, you know, anyway, let's not talk about our president.
Right.
Let's talk about boxing.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, that you were talking about the Anthony Joshua, Eddie Hearns, and how good a job Eddie Hearns is doing, but I also see. Even though Eddie Hearns seems to be getting fights for the guys that Al Haymon had that are coming over to him, it doesn't seem like they're getting the same equality financial-wise as his English fighters. And I guess that's understandable. I mean, you know, everybody looks out for their own. He's going into kind of a different category when you consider the way that American fighters and the American boxing public perceives fights and looks at fights, whereas in England, you can say, you know, two Irish fighters are fighting in Philippa Stadium.
Yeah.
We don't support our fighters like that over here.
No.
So do you think that perhaps, you know, just like we've seen Earl Spence Jr. do, and we've seen, you know, other Americans have to go over to England in order to get paid. You know,
yeah.
Just when you know, just like I said, when you figure out the difference between the pound and the dollar, you know,
yeah.
25 cents on the dollar might not sound like a lot, but if you put a million of them bad boys together, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know,
that's right. That's right.
A million quarters, you know, it kind of adds up. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Hey, look, I'm not trying to cut you off, but I want to say this before I forget. When I fought over in UK, when I was just coming off the contender, I never got treated like I got treated overseas as I got treated here. They were screaming, barking, Kena. I mean, we like rock stars over there, man, compared to over here in our own hometown. And I know I read the scripture a long time ago. The Bible says a man is not honored in his own country. And that's so true. We are legends overseas more than we are in our own country. And the people that's over there, from over there, that's big, doing it big, like Anthony Joshua, I looked at his Twitter page, he got 2 million followers. And Deontay Wilder, two couple of hundred thousand, 300,000 followers. And to me, he's way more entertaining than Anthony Joshua, but he don't get the same kind of support. But let him go move overseas. Let him go move overseas, and he says, hey, I'll stay over here in UK. He comes into the ring, and it says, from UK, Deontay Wilder. And now you're going to have your American fans go boo. But I bet your followers are going to go all the way up from 300,000 to a million in no time. And he'll be selling out arenas without Joshua over there in UK.
But like you said, over there in the UK.
Absolutely. hey! Sometimes you gotta go. You gotta go get that money. You gotta go get it. So when I was fighting locally, because I was scared to get on airplanes, I had to get out my city, out my comfort zone, and go fly to another city. Now it's different from in these days, because now you gotta go not just from your city to another city. You got to go from your city to another country. And the money is not like it was. Al Heyman ain't paying the money he was paying when he had got that money from the Wall Street people when they gave him $485 billion. The prices that went down, and that's why you got a lot of these stars. I ain't going to say superstars yet because they're not from overseas. But you got some of these stars, they getting into it with each other. Like, you know, you got the Charlo brothers, they get into it with Adrian Bronner, and they got into it with Davis. I mean, you know, they eat, but they not eating like they was eating, so they're not as spoiled as they was. So that, you know, so it's a little tantrums in there, a little, you know, some animosity. It's just like when I was on that show, The Contender, when we all start, you know, everybody trying to get that money. So I'm getting into it with Brewer, and Brewer getting into it with Van Roy. Van Roy want to fight Clark because guess what? We all try to get that money. And when the money get cut short, it's like when Tommy Hearns was a world champion and he was from Crunks. Everybody that fought for Crunks was trying to get Tommy Hearns' spot. So when they was in there sparring with each other, they all trying to please Emmanuel Stewart because they were trying to get that spot.
Well, now, you know, it seems to me, especially when you start talking about the business part. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And you're talking about, you know, the Anthony Joshuas and the Deontay Wilders and whatnot, and even, you know, yourself. Like you said, everyone wants to get the money.
Yeah.
But the pie is only so big.
Absolutely.
So, you know, after you get past that part, now, you kind of mentioned it there when you were talking about the Chalos, you know, and the Chalos talking about, you know, Adrian Broner and Tank Davis and whatnot. Well, you know, I mean, I can kind of understand what they're saying when every time you see an Adrian Broner fight, it goes the distance. Now, I'm not saying that Jesse Vargas wasn't a tough guy, because I actually think that Jesse Vargas won the fight, but we're not going to go into that. And then you look at guys like Chalo, you know, hey, they are always on the undercard. They're never the main event. But they're champions. Regardless how they got there, they're champions. They have belts. Why am I on the undercard if I'm the champ and you're a guy that fighters come to the distance? I mean, you know, you look really bad against Danny. I mean, come on now.
I mean, but just think about it, though. One thing you can't say about AB, he knows how to sell a fight. He knows how to sell himself. He got his own little show, 25-8. He always out here doing something. The man is a salesman. You know, he reminds me of a Manny Floyd in a different little way, though, because, you know, he takes it to a whole different level. But the guy, I mean, he knows how to sell. And he's always, one thing about a win, lose, or draw, he always trying to give it his best. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, think about it. When he lost to Bronner, you know what I mean? He came back at the end and fought real good. Bronner, I mean, when he fought against Madonna caught him with some good shots. At the end, you know what I mean? People was happy to see it, because he kind of like made a lot of enemies just for the fact that, you know what I'm saying, he just flamboyish and he's flashy. But the guy knows how to sell. He knows how to sell. I mean, people want to see him lose. You know, people want to see him win, but he probably got more people that want to see him lose. I remember we was in a tunnel, and we were signed with Golden Boy at the time, or some of us were signed with Golden Boy at the time. And he kept on saying, watch, man, watch their booby. Watch their booby. Watch their booby. So when we went out there, it was boo, boo. You know what I mean? But, you know, hey, they know who he is. They know who they born. You know what I mean? I mean, you know how they say any kind of publicity is better than no publicity. And the man, like I say, the man know how to sell himself. And one thing about him, too, is he will take any fight. The man got a lot of heart. He got a lot of heart. He will fight any and everybody. Because me, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have fought, you know, if I was him, I wouldn't have fought Jesse Vargas. I looked at that as a harder fight than the fight with Figueroa. Figueroa got hurt. I thought that he could beat Figueroa because he had a tailor-made style. The man's a bleeder, and he's coming forward. But then when he got hurt and they switched up and gave him Vargas, I said, oh, man. To be honest with you, and look, AB cool with me. You know what I mean? Cool guy. I didn't think he was going to win that fight. I sure didn't think it was going to be no draw. I thought the man was too. Jim Vargas is just, he know how to win. And he's a bigger guy. But, hey, AB looked pretty good to me that fight. I mean, I don't know what you saw, how you took the fight, but he looked pretty good to me.
I didn't say he didn't look good. As a matter of fact, I had the same score that her name escapes me now, but I had the same score she did. I just had it for Jesse Vargas, 115-113. It wasn't like it was, a bad score, and I really wasn't mad about a draw, because I thought AB came on in the last half of the fight. So I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't angry about a draw. Like I said, I just thought Jesse won the fight, and some of that has to do with my own innate prejudice towards Cincinnati fighters. But anyway, so let's go the other way here, because I look at two fighters in particular that have seen to be able to break the mold, and they've made a career of getting good fights. I mean, financial wise. And I want you to tell me what's the difference in the marketing of these two. And I'm talking about Timothy Bradley and Austin Trout. Austin Trout is getting another shot, another title shot. We very seldom see that. Of course, everybody knows that Austin's getting a little long in the tooth. And you know, while he presents a good opponent with great boxing skills, hey, when's the last time Austin's knocked somebody out? So you don't really have to worry about his power. But how do you think these two fighters have managed to be successful in not only, you know, a field that features, you know, as we've been saying, you know, a lot of foreign fighters, Mexican fighters, but you know, that they've been able to apply their skills within very competitive weight classes.
And you know what? I think you're missing one other person, Andre Berto.
Well, Berto's supposedly gone now, right?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I guess, hey, for the right amount of money, I'm quite sure he'll come back if it's the right pull and the right amount of money. But even if he is, you know, Bradley done retired too.
Yeah.
So I mean, Ludabella did a real good job with Andre Berto. I couldn't believe when he was with Ludabella and he was fighting on HBO. To me, he was fighting against Sukan and was making $750,000 on HBO. Ludabella got that man that bread. He got him that bag, as they say, the young people say nowadays. He got him that bag. $750,000, and they're not giving that kind of money up on HBO. I think Triple G opponent Baines is making what, $400,000? Or they offered the other guy, the guy named Spike, his last name, what's his name? Spike, or they offered him $400,000. So if they offer him $400,000, I don't even think Baines get that much on HBO. But then you had Andre Berto. He was fighting against a guy, I don't even know his name, at welterweight for the belt and made $750,000. I mean, you gotta take your head off for Ludabella. And it was a black man at that. Because like I say, HBO to me, you know what I mean, hey, they got their own people. They got their own style and what they like. I don't see a lot of black fighters, you know what I mean, up and coming on HBO. I see a lot of black fighters on Showtime. And I'm not trying to make this a race thing or none of that, you know what I mean? But it's just like, it is what it is. I'm just telling you what I see and what I've noticed. I done fought on Showtime a few times. It is what was no problem, you know. They looking just to make the best fights, and I think that HBO was just, you know, they don't really. I don't think they trying to push boxing as much. They got a lot of subscribers just from having people that get HBO. I think Showtime is really focused on boxing. I think ESPN is really focused on boxing, and I think HBO was cool because they got more subscribers that actually watch HBO. They're not really all that pressed for HBO like that anymore. They got their connection from boxing back a long time ago.
HBO has only scheduled actually three fights this year on HBO, and one of them is a pay-per-view, or at least it was.
Wow. Unbelievable. Wow.
So let's talk about the results.
You said what now?
Let's talk about the results of the fights last weekend. Let's start.
Oh, let's do that.
Let's start with Tank. Tank, you know, took out his guy. I believe what was it like? Three rounds, four rounds, or something like that. It didn't really. I mean, the guy had no way to keep Tank up off of him. He couldn't move out the way, cut off the ring real nicely on him. What did you think about the how Tank looked coming back and his opponent? I mean, this was an opponent that Tank was supposed to beat. He did it in great fashion. What did you think about his footwork? What did you think about the way he looked coming back out? Give us your view of Tank Davis.
Yeah, you know what? I think Tank looked it good. I think he looked it. You know, I look at it like this. He's a young guy with a lot of pressure on him. I'm thinking about inside the ring and outside the ring. You know, it's a lot going on outside the ring when you're young, you got talent, and then your promoter is the highest paid athlete. The highest paid athlete in Mayweather. And he's saying after you win, if you win your fight, that he already talked to he didn't already talk to Triple G and them boss. And he said that, you know, Tank is going to fight Lomachenko next. That's a lot of pressure going into a fight when you're about to fight a big fight. And for you to go out there and still stop the guy, I mean, I take my head off to him just because of the pressure outside the ring to go into inside the ring to know once I win this fight, you're going to throw me in there with somebody. And you know what I mean? And that's a big fight. You ain't telling me nothing. You ain't told me about it, none of that. And then on top of that, he told me when he won that other world title, well, he didn't tell me. He told the people, the fans, that he didn't even know he was going to fight for the world title when he fought and won, and he wasn't supposed to win that fight. That didn't leave your family from in Baltimore, leave Mayweather, you know what I'm saying, I mean, even though he still signed with him to go to train with Bronner, knowing that Mayweather and Bronner had a lot of tension, a lot of stuff going on. I mean, lose your title on the scale and still to be focused and go out there and do what you did with a whole new trainer because the trainer he came up with, he don't have no more because I see Cunningham as a trainer now. I take my hat to him just for that. Even though the guy he was fighting was coming up in weight, it's still a lot of pressure, a lot of mental going into a fight to be able to stay focused and handle your business and not be distracted. I mean, that takes a lot of skill, a lot of heart, a lot of knowledge, a lot of grown men to do that. So I believe to me, you know, when it comes to like who looked the best going into that fight as far as what he had to deal with pressure-wise, mentally, I take my hat off to that young man. That young man going to be okay. But if he don't get it together with Mayweather, you know, like that's his boss, you know what I mean? You know, he can make it hard for him because he signed the contract.
Now, here's a couple things.
Yeah.
Before the fight, Tank was saying on social media that he doesn't feel that he's ready for a Lomachenko fight. He thinks that would be, at this point in his career, somewhat detrimental. After the fight, if you notice, he called out the winner of the Billy Dibb Kevin Farmer fight. So.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed that. But you got to remember, you know what I mean? You got to remember what Mayweather had said when
oh,
Tank.
Yeah. I remember what Mayweather had said after the fight, what was it, 2 weeks ago, when he was saying that, you know, Tank gets through with this one, that they're going to open up negotiations with Top Rank.
No. Before that, before he was mad at Tank, he was singing a whole different tune. He was saying he don't need that fight with Lomachenko. That fight can happen on down the line. Do you remember when he was saying that?
Oh, yeah. But after the feud, it was, you know, that's why I believe I asked, maybe it was on Sunday's show last week, you know, was Mayweather throwing Tank to the wolves?
Absolutely.
You know, because that to me is what a fight with Lomachenko would do. But Kevin Farmer and Tank have had run-ins before. I think maybe it was in the amateurs or whatnot. But we're supposedly. What do you think about that matchup? Billy Dibbs and Kevin Farmer, and then Tank facing the winner.
Oh yeah. Hey, look, I think it'd be a great fight. I think it'd be a great fight because if I'm not mistaken, Even though I didn't see the fight, I heard Taylor Farmer, his last fight he had on HBO, he got robbed. I mean, it's a lot. It's some beef between those two. So, I mean, it'd be a good fight. But, I mean, I probably would have to go with Tank. I mean, because, like I say, man, he dealt with a whole lot going into this fight he had over the weekend, and he pulled it off. So, I mean, but even though Farmer's a good fighter. Farmer's a good fighter. But between them two, if I had to pick a winner, I would go with Tank. But if he fought against Lomachenko, I would have to go with what did he say? Nomai. I had to go with Nomai.
I hear you. Right now, you know, that would definitely be the way that most diehard fighters and fans would see it. But now let's talk about Charlo and Centeno. We did, you know, Charlo looked good. I think, you know, after the Laura fight, Ronnie kind of made it a mission to make sure that his next fighter wasn't going to be any doubt. Ronnie was a little salty about the Lord fight. You know, it is what it is. I thought Jared won the fight with the knockdown in the 12th round. But talking about Charlo, talking about marketing, the Charlo twins have to me, tried to reinvent themselves again. The Young Lions, when they first came out, you know, when they first kind of adopted the name, it was, you know, kind of like, you know, talking about a pride of lions, almost, you know, a deadly family, if you will. Now it's become downright trash talk, you know, some people, it's kind of put them off, you know, it's because, you know, once you get one image, it's kind of hard to shed the other one without the other one, you know, start talking about the hood and this and that and the other. But the one thing that they have managed to do is they've managed to keep winning. Jamal stayed with Ronnie. What do you think, man, when you look at his performance, and then he immediately called out Triple G, but I did notice, and maybe, you know, I guess Triple G is, you know, since the fight with Canelo's off, but I haven't heard too many guys calling out Boo Boo.
No. Nah, yeah, they haven't been calling him out. You know, they want him to disappear, but he ain't gonna disappear. Not with an undefeated record, and not with all them skills. So, you know, somebody gonna have to see him soon. And I just hope that he continues to stay ready, stay motivated, and he get in the ring as soon as possible. Because the only person that can be helped is just his activity. As long as he, you know what I'm saying, he's staying in the gym. And he getting a ring. Like I say, you might not think that he got a good chance to get that Canelo fight, but I think if he go push for it and say the right things, it's like the right words, and get with HBO because he just fought on HBO, I think he can get that fight.
I just don't think Canelo would take that chance, especially since he's been caught. You know, and knowing that you know, he's going to have to be on the straight and narrow. I'm not saying, you know, that you know, he's had advantages before, but I'm just saying that the pressure of that type, I mean, you know, he can't afford to fail another. So, you know, I just think, you know, that is just much too dangerous to fight. Him coming off of knee surgery, you know, even though
right.
He was assist and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that we wouldn't want to see the fight. I just don't think Golden Boy wants to see that fight.
Right. I mean, I then I was thinking too, was like, he's gonna be people might not want to see him come back and just fight on anybody because of what he just went through. So for him to get people to say, oh, he's gonna fight Boo Boo, he's gonna fight Andres, that might get people to say, okay, I'm gonna tune in. See what I'm saying? To something like that. Versus if he hadn't got caught up in it like this, he wouldn't have to take a chance, this kind of chance to prove to everybody he a right or go get in there with a real fighter. You know what I mean? Because he got to come back with a bang. He can't come back. I don't think he can come back and just fight on anybody. I definitely don't think he's coming back and fighting Triple G in September because Triple G going to be there and have a fight. He's not going to want to come back and fight somebody that just fought. Not Triple G.
No, they're going to fight now, I believe, next May 5th. You know, Triple G will get a fight. Canelo will get a fight in between. And then next year, May 5th, I think that they'll be fighting. I think that's the reason why the suspension was cut.
Absolutely.
From 12 months to 6 months.
Yeah. And I don't think he's coming back and fighting Saunders. I mean, you know, he already done beat Kirkland, and we ain't heard nothing about Kirkland. He's most likely not going to fight none of Al Haymon them fighters. So what are you going to do? What are you going to fight? Kell Brook? I mean, you know.
Kell Brook just called Amir Khan, so, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think Kell Brook will fight him because Kell Brook, you know what I mean, I don't think his face is – can take that, you know what I mean? I think he wants the easiest fight he can get possible right now.
No, neither one of them fight right now. Let's talk about Adrian. We were talking, you know, and that a loss for Adrian would possibly make a major difference in his career. We were also talking about, like you said, Jesse Vargas being a very dangerous fighter. A lot of people like me, had picked Vargas to win the fight. Like I said, I thought Adrian came back in the last part of the fight, which really surprised me because Jesse had a devastating body attack. And it shows that, if nothing else, Cunningham did get him in shape. But Broner did something that you don't usually see Cunningham fighters do. If you look at the difference between when Cunningham was in the corner with Garante, Tank was very attentive. He had very little to say. He looked Cunningham in his face when he was talking to him. And he went out and executed Kevin's game plan. Around the fourth and fifth round, I thought that there was a lot of exchange between Broner and Cunningham in as far as Broner was trying to be Broner and not really listen. Even though Mike, I'm thinking, you know, Mike Stafford, with the way that he had established his relationship with Broner in the ring, Broner might have thought that he was still dealing with Mike Stafford. Do you think... Do you think that if Broner can stay with Cunningham, he would be more consistent and learn how to be a better fighter rather than try to be his own man in the ring?
And you know what? That's a good question. I'll give you a perfect example. With my son, for instance. I would use my wife as an example, and you know like I know, that if you tell your son, or if you try to train your wife, for instance, it's like you've been hearing that same voice all the time, every day. It's kind of like you're going to look at me and be like, you know what I'm saying? Or you're going to be like, not want to do it. Well, guess what? Stafford is a voice he's heard over and over and over and over again like a dad to him. It wasn't the same voice in his corner when it came to Cunningham. It was a different voice. So the same stuff that Stafford told him, Mike Stafford told him, He heard Cunningham say the same thing, and he applauded to it. He actually did it because guess what? It was a different voice. So so sometimes you need to hear somebody else tell you the same thing somebody else is always telling you that you always hear it from, always heard it from, or hear it from, for you to actually do it. And it change sometimes is better, and it worked.
So do you think that there's going to be a growing relationship between Roland and Cunningham?
Yeah, I think yes, absolutely. I think that that Bronner made a great decision in leaving his city, away from distractions and going down to Florida and training with Tank and training with Kevin Cunningham, because Kevin Cunningham was a no-nonsense guy, a former police officer, so he's used to using authority, getting his stuff done. He's respected because he's had champions before. I mean, Mike Stafford's a good trainer, but I think the only champion that he had, at the time, or first was Bronner. Cunningham has a whole different system, and he demands that respect, and Bronner respects him, and it worked out. And it's really hard for you to, I know firsthand, to get with a different trainer and go into a big fight. It takes you a little time to gel with someone. So just imagine this. Kenny Cunningham gets 2 and 3 fights with Bronner. He's going to look even better than he looked this fight. I'm looking at it, because trust me, he could look better. But I'm looking at the situation where he only trained with this guy one time. He only fought with Cunningham one time, went into a dangerous fight against a different opponent on a last notice. I mean, to me, for as far as the style, a better fighter, and went out there and executed the game plan in a later rounds with a bigger guy, and won a fight or made it a draw. And I look at all that, and that just let me know if he just stays in the gym, don't get caught up in the streets, don't get caught up in the clubs, and get back and take a week off, spend time with your family, and go to the gym, and go back home, get back in camp, talk to your wife, through Skype or through, iPhone, And I think he's going to be dangerous, but pick the right fight. Don't just go out there because sometimes your heart can get you in trouble. Pick the right fight. Don't be the AB that's just a fight anybody now. Fight somebody that's going to get you to the next level. I know it's probably far-fetched, but try to get a fight with Manny Pacquiao, with Pacquiao beats his opponent.
And what did you think about the Jesse Vargas' fight, with Mike McCallum in the corner?
Oh, I think, his stock didn't go down. His stock went up, too, because Mike McCallum, he's the body snatcher. And Vargas threw a lot of good body shots. I think not only was it AB who kind of gave Vargas some problems later on in the fight, I think it was the fact that Vargas, fighting at 144. I don't know when the last time he fought down that low. I think that he wasn't as strong going into later rounds. So I think that extra little 3 pounds kind of hurt him. And I believe Mayweather even knew it. Mayweather said he wanted to see him fight at 147. Why he ain't fighting Bronner at 147? I mean, people don't know, for the fans that's listening, that's never been in the ring, 3 pounds is a huge, makes a big difference in a fight when you get top guys fighting each other.
Well, hey, man, I think, the fight being a draw, I'm not really mad about it. I'd like to see a rematch, but I don't think that's not going to really help Bronner or Vargas. It would be more the Vargas' advantage than the Bronner. So I don't see a rematch.
I don't either. I don't. Hey, look, Vargas should be happy because, if I was one of Bronner's handlers, I wouldn't even put Vargas in there with Bronner, because to me, that style wasn't fitting for Bronner. But Bronner, it just lets you know that Kevin Cunningham is a great trainer. For him to actually be able to go out there and get a draw with a bigger guy and on a short notice, that says a lot about Cunningham, That says a lot about Bronner. And at the end of the day, I think the winner of that fight, even though it was a draw, was Vargas. Because Vargas got another big payday, and it was a draw. So guess what? He going to get a chance to get another big fight.
Yep, I definitely agree. Hey, K-9, thanks so much for hanging out with me this evening, man. I really wanted us to talk to Google. I thought, it was well over time for somebody to put him on the show. I don't know why guys don't like this. I guess he's too real for some guys. I don't know. But, hey, man, thanks so much for hanging out with me tonight. And why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media. Any fights, big fights coming up in Detroit.
Watch yourself. Yeah. I just want people to know that, man. I love the kids. Pray that we have a successful show because I'm going to be throwing the Junior Olympics. Me and a couple of, one of my buddies is going to be, providing, a good show in the Junior Olympics for the kids, a 2-day tournament, the day before Mother's Day and on Mother's Day. So, we're going to be out there, any fighters welcome to come, any amateur, top guys, and we're going to be throwing the Junior Olympics, like I say. And, keep me in prayer, man. Tomorrow, actually an hour and 18 minutes, it'll be my birthday, man. So, feel free to wish me happy birthday on my Twitter page, K9 Boxing, Facebook, Twitter page. Instagram, IG, it's K9 Boxing, man, And, thanks, man, for having me on the show as usual, man. And, hit me up, man. Let me know. Let's talk the next big fight, man. Hit me up, man. Let's kick it.
Hey, man. We got Adonis Stevenson and Badu Jack. We got Danny Jacobs. So we got plenty to talk about. Don't worry.
That's right. Hey, listen. If Badu Jack and then would have got with me, man, I could have told him a few things. I sparred with Adonis Stevenson a few times. I mean, it's business, too, though. So, hey, I'll jump ship if I have to. It's
hey,
business.
Man. Yeah. You have a great night, man, and, look forward to kicking it with you again, man. So.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. Thanks for having me again, AJ, but we're going to chop it up, Pupilless cubes.
Hey, man, I keep telling you, we're going to do the Sports Crib and K9 Network, man, so, hey. I'm gonna keep you out there and everything about the city of Detroit. So, hey man.
Oh yeah.
So much.
no doubt, my guy. One love.
All right,
my guy.
And, I'll see you next Tuesday, or if not, very soon. As soon as we got more to kick it about, and trying to make some sense out of this great sport of ours. So,
that's right.
Trust you, man.
All right, baby. One love. Dog up.
All right, my man. Good night.
All right, my guy. Yep, cheers.